and sketches and fashion magazines, brought in the tools and workbenches and mannequins needed for fashion design, and even went so far as to design a few outfits to give the place an air of authenticity. The smaller of the two rooms she designated as the fitting room. Her clients would be shown to this fitting room, and on the sofa they would be fitted by Nutmeg. Her client list was compiled by the wife of the owner of a major department store. The woman had chosen a strictly limited number of trustworthy candidates from among her wide circle of friends, convinced that in order to avoid any possibility of scandal, she would have to make this a club with an exclusive membership. Otherwise, news of the arrangement would be sure to spread quickly. The women, chosen to become members, were warned never to reveal anything about their fitting to outsiders. Not only were they women of great discretion, but they knew that if they broke their promise, they would be permanently expelled from the club. Each client would telephone to make an appointment for a fitting, and show up at the designated time, knowing that she need not fear encountering any other client, and that her privacy would be guaranteed. Honoraria were paid on the spot in cash, their size having been determined by the department store owner's wife, at a level much higher than Nutmeg would have imagined, though this never became an obstacle. Any woman who had been fitted by Nutmeg always called for another appointment, without exception. "You don't have to let the money be a burden to you," the department store's owner's wife explained to Nutmeg. "The more they pay, the more assured these women feel." Nutmeg would go to her office 3 days a week and do one fitting a day. That was her limit. Cinnamon became his mother's assistant when he turned 16. By then, it had become difficult for Nutmeg to handle all the clerical tasks herself, but she had been reluctant to hire a complete stranger. When, after much deliberation, she asked her son to help her with her work, he agreed immediately, without even asking what kind of work it was she did. He would go to the office each morning at 10 o'clock by cab, unable to bear being with others on buses or tube trains, clean and dust, put everything where it belonged, fill the vases with fresh flowers, make coffee, do whatever shopping was needed, put classical music on the cassette player at low volume, and keep the books. Before long, Cinnamon had made himself an indispensable presence in the office. Whether clients were due that day or not, he would put on a suit and tie and take up his position at the waiting room desk. None of the clients complained about his not speaking. It never caused them any inconvenience, and if anything, they preferred it that way. He was the one who took their calls when they made appointments. They would state their preferred time and date, and he would knock on the desktop in response, once for no and twice for yes. The women liked this conciseness. He was a young man of such classic features that he could have been turned into a sculpture and displayed in a museum, and unlike so many other handsome young men, he never undercut his image when he opened his mouth. The women would talk to him on their way in and out, and he would respond with a smile and a nod. These conversations relaxed them, relieving the tensions they had brought with them from the outer world and reducing the awkwardness they felt after their fittings. Nor did Cinnamon himself, who ordinarily disliked contact with strangers, appear to find it painful to interact with the women. At 18, Cinnamon got his driving license. Nutmeg found a kindly driving instructor to give him private lessons, but Cinnamon himself had already been through every available instruction book and absorbed the details. All he needed was the practical know-how that couldn't be obtained from books, and this he mastered in a few days at the wheel. Once he had his license, he pored over the used car books and bought himself a Porsche Carrera, using as a down payment all the money he had saved working for his mother, none of which he ever had to use for living expenses. He made the engine shine, bought new parts through mail order, put new tires on, and generally brought the car's condition to racing level. All he ever did with it, though, was drive it over the same short, jam-packed route every day from his home in Hiro to the office in Akasaka, rarely exceeding 40 miles an hour. This made it one of the rarer Porsche 911s in the world. Nutmeg continued her work for more than 7 years, during which time she lost 3 clients. The first was killed in a car accident, the second suffered permanent expulsion for a minor infraction, and the third went far away in connection with her husband's work. These were replaced by four new clients, all the same sort of fascinating middle-aged women.